So in the 13th chapter of Matthew, we have 9 parables. This is the second one. We heard one last week. And in them, Jesus' parables, they sort of conceal his meaning even as they reveal it. And some say it was how he stayed out of jail. He could have been arrested for talking about heresy and treason, after all, but talking about seeds and thorns and rocks, good soil and bad? Probably not. The parable of the sower is a familiar one to most of us. In it, a sower casts seeds on 4 kinds of ground. First, the packed ground of the footpath, the ground that is full of rocks, the ground that is thick with thorns, and finally, good, fertile ground. Depending on where they land, the seeds are eaten by birds or spring up quickly and then wither away or get choked by thorns, while some of them, roughly a quarter of them, take root in good soil. I remember seeing this parable acted out on the stage in Godspell, a good-humored play based on the gospel according to Matthew. 4 rambunctious actors dressed like clowns play the seeds, each of them meeting a different fate. The seed cast on the path is picked to death by birds. The one on rocky ground is burned up by a towering sun. The one amongst the thorns is strangled by their fellow actors. And the one on good soil receives an ovation from everyone. That scene often got me worrying about what kind of ground I am on with God, and especially during the times that we are experiencing now. But back to what I was thinking. I started worrying about how many birds were in my field, how many rocks, how many thorns. I started worrying about how I could clean them all up, how I could turn myself into a healthy, well-fertilized field for the selling of God's word. I started worrying about how the odds were 3-1 against me, and how I could improve those odds by cleaning up my act. That is my usual response to this parable. But I think there is something wrong with that reading of the parable. Because if that is what it is about, then it should have been called the parable of the different kinds of soil. Instead, it has been known for centuries as the parable of the sower, which means that there is a chance, just a chance, that maybe we have it a little bit backwards. We hear the story and we think it is a story about us. But what if we are wrong? What if it is not about us at all, but about the sower? What if it is not about our own successes and failures and birds and rocks and thorns, but about the extravagance and abundance of a sower who does not seem fazed by such concerns? Who flings seed everywhere, wastes it with holy abandon, who feeds the birds, whistles at the rocks, picks their way through the thorns, shouts alleluia at the good soil, and just keeps on sowing, confident that there is enough seed to go around. And when the harvest comes, that there will be an abundance. If this is really the parable of the sower and not the parable of the different kinds of soil, then it begins to sound quite new. The focus is not on us and our shortfalls, but on the generosity of our Creator, the prolific sower who does not obsess about the condition of the fields, who is not stingy with the seed, but who casts it everywhere, on good soil and bad, who is not cautious or judgmental or even very practical, but is just willing to keep reaching into their seed bag for all eternity, covering the whole creation with the fertile seed of God's truth. We, gathered here and at home, of course, would not do it that way. If we were in charge, we would devise a more efficient operation, a neater, cleaner, more productive one that did not waste seed on birds or rocks or thorns, but concentrated only on the good soil and what we could make that soil do. But if this is the parable of the sower, Jesus seems to be suggesting that there is another way to go about things, a way that is less concerned with productivity than with fullness and abundance. For a moment, let's put this parable to one side, and I'd like to share with you a story. It concerns a young anthropologist who works among the Aboriginal people in Australia. These people have a very rich tradition of storytelling. And everyone gathers at night, a story is told, and then another and another. And the anthropologist is thrilled when asked to join in the activity. And the first story that is told that evening is about the animal ancestor of this specific community and its adventures at the beginning of time. And the story overflows with detail, action, imagery. At the end of the story, the anthropologist asks, "May I ask a question? What does it mean?" And all eyes turn and stare. And the elder looks and says, "That is the one question you cannot ask. What does it mean was the wrong question to ask about the Aboriginal myth. It may also be the wrong question for us to ask about the story of the sower or any of the stories told by Jesus. What does it mean is the wrong question if we think that by having an answer, we can somehow get a handle on the story, domesticate it, and make it safe. The stories that Jesus tells are not subject to our control. He tells these stories so that we will be transformed. He tells these stories not so that we can ask questions about them, but so the stories can ask questions of us.